How do you do? Mind coming with us? We want to show you the story of a woman whose entire life was marked by the presence of a personality. A person who followed her in happiness, then through persecution in Hitler Germany, and later through times of readjustment and sorrow in the United States. Until at last, her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, Crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique transcribed dramatic series telling the real-life stories of actual people. For more than 83 years, the old lighthouse has offered the open secret of a new life to the men and women of Chicago Skid Row. But now, through Unshackled, it reaches straight to you right where you are, with the same secret of the same new life. Where you are might be almost anywhere. For these days, Unshackled's heard on four continents and in two languages. This unusual outreach, far beyond the capacities of a Skid Row rescue mission, has come about because some of those who listen have felt led to take on a part of the burden of making it possible for others to hear. So the broadcasts reach new places and new people. And wherever Unshackled goes, it soon becomes known as the program that makes you face yourself and think. The names in this story are fictitious, but the people are real, and so is the story itself. It happened to a woman we've chosen to call Marta Grunfeld. Marta's life on Earth ended some 7 years ago, but many of those listening knew her well. The person best qualified to tell the story is a woman we will call Jeanette Brown. She, too, is remarkable in her own way, and you'll begin to see why and how as she tells the true story of the woman we're calling Marta Grunfeld, right now on Unshackled.
It was in the late 1930s that I first heard about Marta. Oh, those were busy times for me. Refugees were leaving Germany in great numbers as the excesses of the Hitler regime grew more frightening. Most of the refugees were Jews. And since my work all my adult life has been among Jewish people, I found myself called upon more and more to spend time with recently arrived refugees. People who knew about my work kept coming to tell me of some of the newly arrived families that they had heard about.
Jeanette!
What? What, Hans?
I've been trying to call you at home. You're never there.
Oh, not these days. More refugees all the time.
It's about refugees I want to talk to you. These people just come from Germany. Very nice people, but they're having a hard time.
Well, then I better see them.
I wish you would. They have an apartment right in your neighborhood on the south side. It's a big place. They're trying to manage by taking in rumors, more refugees. Here, I'll write down the address for you.
Do they speak English, Hans?
Oh, very little. They're charming people. He had a small factory in the northern part of Germany.
Alfred and Marta Grunfeld?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hans. I'll go see Marta first thing tomorrow. When I rang the downstairs doorbell of the Grunfeld's walk-up apartment, there was no answer. And after ringing and waiting, I had an odd impulse to go round to the basement entrance of the building. It took a little searching, but I finally opened the door of the laundry room. Hello?
Yeah?
Pardon me, I'm looking for a Mrs. Grunfeld.
Yeah?
Grunfeld?
Yeah.
Oh, are you Mrs. Grunfeld?
Yeah.
Well, I heard about you from a friend of mine. I've come to welcome you to the United States, to Chicago.
You what?
To tell you I'm glad you arrived safely.
Yeah?
And to ask you if there's anything I can do to help you get settled.
This is true?
Why, yes, it's true.
Then, there is nothing.
Perhaps later on, when you begin to get your bearings, there'll be something I can do then for you.
Pardon me, please.
May I call on you again?
I think, yeah, come again.
Marta seemed amazed that anyone should be interested in her and her family. Amazed, but also filled with doubts. In the place from which she had come, any interest on the part of strangers was likely to mean danger. I waited a week, and then visited Marta in the evening and found the whole family there. Alfred, Marta's husband, proved to be a charming, kindly, witty man with a joviality that had survived his troubles. The children were Eva and Anna. Both were attractive and well-mannered children.
So you are the one whose visit frightened Marta so, huh?
I didn't mean to frighten her.
Oh, you're not really a frightening person at all, you know. But when you have lived as we have, fearing every knock at the door, it is not easy to accept the idea of human kindness.
I know that's true. So many of the other Jewish people from Germany have told me the same thing.
Alfred, we should tell Miss Brown that I am not frightened of her now.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad.
You are not Jewish, Miss Brown?
No.
Mm-mm. I was sure of that. We like to say that a Jew is indistinguishable from anyone else. But it isn't true. We nearly always know one another.
Not always, Alfred.
Well, I said nearly always. So how is it that you, a Gentile, are so interested in Jewish people?
Well, first of all, I'm not a Gentile.
But you just said...
I said I was not a Jew.
But...
And I'm not a Gentile. I'm a Christian.
Oh, Christian, Gentile, what's the difference?
Oh, a very great deal, I hope.
Miss Brown.
Jeanette, please.
Then, Jeanette, this is something I have never before heard.
I know. But the prophet Isaiah says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in the darkness out of the prison house.
Marta, this young lady knows the prophets very well.
Oh, I see that. And she speaks of them with respect.
Oh, with respect, yes. And I hope with love.
But you are still a Gentile.
Well, not according to the writing of one of those who knew the law and the prophets very well. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was brought up at the feet of the great teacher Gamaliel. His name was Saul, and we know him as Paul. He wrote this, Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then Paul writes, Through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
This is from the writings called the New Testament?
Yes. And time after time, the men who wrote it refer back for support to the books of Moses and to the prophets. Really, that's why I'm here calling on you. We who belong to Christ owe so much to the Jewish people, for the Bible and for Christ himself, for the Savior. I want to return these blessings to you.
I see.
And perhaps now you can see why I can say that before I belonged to God through Christ, I was a Gentile. But now, as God's child by adoption, I'm no longer a Gentile, but a Christian.
That's very interesting. You see, when I was a little girl, I knew a great deal about Jesus.
Is that so? How?
Oh, it was in southern Germany, when I was very small. If you like, I will tell you about it.
Marta did tell me about it, and I think the story is well worth passing on. You see, in the village where she was born, Marta was the only Jewish child, and so she was sent to a kindergarten operated by a Christian church. Marta told me that the teacher was a certain Schwester Marie, and that she was a wonderful woman with a light on her face, and that the light shone most brightly when she was telling the children stories about Jesus. Marta remembered very clearly the day that this teacher told one particularly beautiful story.
This is a story about Jesus. You see, the people brought their young children to him, and all they wanted him to do was to touch the children with his hands. Now, wouldn't you like to know that when you were very small, Jesus had touched you? Well, the men who were with him tried to send away the ones who had brought their children. But Jesus saw it, and he said this, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And then do you know what Jesus did? He took the children up in his arms and put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Now, Schwester Marie prays every day for you, that you will ask Jesus to place his hands upon you, and to bless you, and to keep you safe in his arms.
Marta had a little friend whose name was Lisbeth. Sometimes in Lisbeth's home, they would read from a big Bible that stood on a metal stand. Listening, Marta would think, "Oh, these Gentiles have a wonderful God." But no one ever told her that the God of the Jews was the God of the Christians, and that Jesus was for the Jews too. God, as she knew of him, seemed distant, aloof. But this Jesus was close and warm and kind. Well, Marta grew up and went to northern Germany and met and married Alfred. Oh, it was a very happy marriage. There was only one serious cloud on the horizon, and that was a growing power of the Nazi. For some reason, Marta sensed the menace very early.
Marta, my dear, this beef is cut from an animal of very venerable years.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Does the market have nothing better? Or has meat suffered along with everything else in the choice between guns or butter?
That's part of it. But there is still enough for the Herrenfolk.
Oh, surely you're joking.
This is no joke.
Yeah, but we have traded with the same butcher for a number of years. He's a very nice fellow. He wouldn't be taken in by those crazy theories of Hitler's.
I think he's afraid to sell us anything good.
Yeah, you're getting a persecution complex, Marta.
Perhaps not. Don't you believe that persecution can become a reality?
Not really. In the little things, perhaps, but this race business is all for show to impress the ignorant.
Alfred, today I took the children to the park as usual, but we could not sit on our favorite bench. It is marked for Aryans only.
Aryans? There is no such thing. The very word refers to a language, not a people.
Then there were several mythological creatures sitting on the bench. Mm. The children and I had to sit on one marked with the yellow stripe for Jews.
Yeah. It will pass, it must.
I hope you're right. For myself, I think the sooner we can leave this country, the better off we'll be.
It was soon after that when Marta met the little old man in the park. The day was chilly, but she and her little daughter were sitting on their yellow striped bench when he shuffled down the path and settled down on the bench with them. Marta studied him suspiciously. She was almost sure he wasn't a Jew, and if not, then he must have some ulterior motive in choosing a bench so plainly marked. After a few minutes of silence, he spoke.
What is the baby's name?
Eva.
Ah, the name of our first mother.
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Well, of course. We read all about it in the book of Genesis. Do you know the Bible?
Yes. The Old Testament, of course.
Oh, the Old Testament, but not the New.
No. As you see by my choice of benches, I am Jewish.
I know, and I am not.
Then why do you bother
sit on this bench? Oh, I am an old man and not very strong. When I protest the things that are happening here in Germany today, no one pays any attention. But I am a Christian, and I must protest. This is a very small protest, but a sincere one. I sit always on the yellow striped benches set aside for the Jews.
Oh, I see. Then I owe you an apology.
You owe me nothing. I owe you much for the Bible, for the Savior, Jesus, the Messiah. These are sad times, but God will triumph and gather his own together through Christ our Lord. Those things we read in the Bible.
Is that true?
Oh, yes. Come here again tomorrow, and I will bring my Bible and show you. You shall see for yourself that Jesus is a redeemer for Jews as well as for Gentiles.
Marta had no intention of going back the next day, but when the time came, she was there on the bench, and so was the little old man with his Bible.
You see, I have marked the place here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Many places in the Old Testament speak of the coming of Jesus, but we like this one especially. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Then this speaks of Jesus?
Yes, indeed. Here, the book is yours. I give it to you.
Marta thanked the old man and left in haste. During the weeks that followed, she was very busy. An opportunity presented itself to leave Germany and go to America, taking nearly all their possessions with them. When the great day arrived, the Gruenfels were waiting on the sidewalk for the vehicles that would carry their crates, boxes, and baggage. Everything was lined up neatly, clearly lettered with the destination in the United States. And as they waited, the little old man came shuffling down the street.
So, you are going to America?
Why, yes.
God is in America, too.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
And Germany will someday pay for oppressing God's chosen people. You still have the Bible?
Yes.
Good. Read it. It is the word of God.
In a moment, we'll continue with the true story of Marta Gruenfeld. But just now, we want to tell you about the free gift that we of Pacific Garden Mission want to send you. Here is Harry Saulnier to explain.
The book we have for you is Conflict with Darkness, a story of God's love among the Mau Maus. It is one of the series of one-evening condensed books published by Good News Publishers for the Christian Readers Club. The author, Dr. H. Virginia Blakesley, sees and makes clear the spiritual factors that have been overlooked or ignored by other writers in commenting on and interpreting the East African scene. Her conclusions are of the greatest importance if we are to understand the problems of the awakening peoples of Africa.
At the same time, the book is written not as a dry commentary, but as a moving story involving very real people. An unusual book. I think an exciting book. To receive your free copy of Conflict with Darkness as the gift of Pacific Garden Mission, write at once. Address Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. Ask for Conflict with Darkness, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois.
After I had called on Marta half a dozen times, she agreed to attend a Bible study group I was holding with several other refugees. Of those days, one incident sticks in my mind. Marta came to Bible class bursting to tell about a new neighbor.
Listen. You should meet this wonderful neighbor of mine. She just moved into the apartment across the hall. So cheerful, so happy. Even when she does the washing, she sings. Only this morning I could hear her in the laundry room. She was singing, "This is my story, this is my song," praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, so happy, oh, so happy.
When our Bible class began a detailed study of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the same chapter that the little old man in the German park had marked, Marta was fascinated. The accuracy of the prophecy of the sufferings of Christ, the Messiah, made a deep impression. And one night, a conviction swept over her so powerfully that she just had to tell someone.
Alfred, Wake up. Alfred, please. There is something I must tell you at once.
What is this desperately important piece of information?
You're awake? Listening?
Yeah, how could I help it?
Then listen. Alfred, Jesus is the Messiah.
So far and no farther. And then tragedy. Alfred operated a newspaper stand at nights. He always took a nap before dinner.
Alfred, time for supper. Don't be a sleepyhead. Time for supper. Alfred. Alfred, my darling. Jesus, I can't go alone in the world. Jesus, you have said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you have said, I will not leave you comfortless. I believe it, and I need it. I need a savior. I need you.
That was how Marta came to receive Christ. We talked together after the funeral, and she told me this.
Jeanette, if you had told me a week ago that I could go through this, I wouldn't have believed it. It's amazing. I could just feel the arms of the Lord holding me up.
When the Passover season came, one of Marta's roomers mentioned it.
Tell me, Marta, what if your brother wants to observe Pesach here in this house? What'll you do?
Is this a problem?
Well, I should think so. You're a Christian, aren't you?
Well, of course. Well, so?
You wouldn't have Pesach in your home.
Why not? Pesach is the time we wait for the Messiah. You tell my brother, yes.
Marta, you prepared everything in the proper way? The three unleavened cakes, the shank bone of the lamb's shoulder, the egg, the garosas, and the vinegar, the bitter herbs.
Horseradish?
Of course. Well, my son, you may begin.
Wherefore is this night distinguished from all other nights? For on all other nights we eat leavened or unleavened bread, but on this night only unleavened bread.
When Marta's nephew had asked the traditional questions, her brother reread the story of God's dealings with the Hebrew people on the night they prepared to leave Egypt. And when he had finished, Marta had something to add.
Wonderful. Now we will read how the Messiah came. Here, let the boy read it.
Starting here?
Yes, and then here.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Oh, thank you. Now, Jeanette, will you also read from the prophet Isaiah and explain it?
Of course, Marta, I'll be glad to. Psalm Several years later, that same boy who had read Matthew's account of the Last Supper also received Christ. At the end of World War II, Marta began writing letters to Germany in an effort to find some trace of her old kindergarten teacher. She learned that the old woman was now in her 80s and living in the old people's home. Feeble as she was, Schwester Marie wrote a letter.
My dear sister in Christ, you have given me a great blessing in my old age by letting me know that you have recognized the Messiah and have received God's great gift of salvation through him. Ours is a God who answers prayer, my dear, and all through these years I have never failed to pray that the little Martha, who sat in my kindergarten and heard stories about Jesus, would one day receive him as her Savior. Our God is a mighty fortress. Praise his name.
Even when she was beyond the power to carry on a conversation with those around her, she kept right on talking with God, not with the distant, strange God of her childhood, but warmly and closely. I think it was all summed up by one of her friends, one who was very orthodox. He had heard her pray, not for herself, but for others. And when he tiptoed out of the room, he had this to say.
Such prayer I never heard. I never knew that anyone could be on such terms with God.
The life of the woman we've called Marta Greenfeld says so much. If it says something to you, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, you may want to know more about this Christ who is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You may counsel with someone understanding by getting in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. If you like, we'll give a copy of your letter to the woman who told this story. The telephone number of Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago is Wabash 2-1462. Heard in the Marta Greenfeld story were Muriel Monsell as Marta, with Mary Skoll, Bunny Catcher, Harry Elders, Russ Reed, and Kurt Kupfer. Original music, Lucille Becker. Unshackled's produced and transcribed by the Pacific Garden Mission, and I've written the story as I heard it from the woman that we've called Jeanette Brown. This is Jack O'Dell saying, as we always do, because it's true, if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write to us this week. Your encouragement is very greatly needed these days. Address Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at Wabash 2-1462.